The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
As always, what a pleasure it is to chat to you, Rolene Marks. How are you this afternoon?
Likewise. And I do have some breaking news that's just come in within the last couple of minutes. Yeah. A lot of us have been following very, very closely the proceedings in France, what has happened before and since the horrendous verdict in the Sarah Halimi case, you know, the latest news coming in this morning that a judge has resigned in protest of this horrendous verdict. But we've just had some breaking news that President Rivlin has written to French President Emmanuel Macron to thank him for standing by the Jewish community and also backing a change to the law. So we know that the president has called Sarah Halimi's murder anti-Semitic, brutal and terrible. And he goes on to tell President Macron, your quick and clear response sends a clear message to the family of the victim and to France as a whole that law as it currently stands is deficient and that deficiency has allowed a despicable murderer to evade justice and punishment. The facts of the case are accepted. Dr. Sarah Halimi was a victim of a despicable murder by a cruel murderer because she was Jewish, and everything must be done to send a clear message that there is and will not be any tolerance of sick and despicable anti-Semitism and attacks on Jews because of their ethnicity and religion.
That's calling it out like it is. Nice to hear such plain and clear language being used. What isn't so plain and clear, though, is that mini constitutional crisis you were having yesterday and the appointment of a justice minister. Where were you with that story today, Rolene?
Okay, so we do have a justice minister. He just isn't Ofira Kunis, and he is and he's an interim justice minister.
Okay, so what happened and how did this happen?
So after yesterday's absolute roller coaster of I think the only word to describe it besides balagan is to use the good old Afrikaans gemors, mm-hmm. mess that we had was the vote pushed forward by the Likud faction to appoint Ofer Akunis as the justice minister. This is an interim justice minister until we have a proper government formed. The vote was illegal because it had not been signed off as per the coalition agreement between Gantz and Netanyahu, had not been signed off by Gantz, who had also put his candidacy forward. However, there was a vote today. Benny Gantz was appointed by the cabinet as interim justice minister until we have a proper government formed, which is, of course, our number one thing we have to do. And only days remain for Netanyahu to try and cobble that together. And Gantz will be the interim justice minister until we have a new government. Also very interesting today, we had the first ever meeting between Naftali Bennett and Ra'am's Abbas Mansour. We don't know too many details, but we do know that they have met for the first time ever.
Very, very interesting indeed. I just want to stay in this political issue for a moment because fascinating to me looking back over the past 2 weeks, Rolene. Last week you reported on a vote that the Likud lost. It was for some, the establishment of some or other particularly important committee that was defeated by the opposition. Second loss, although albeit within the party, was this vote for justice minister. Is Bibi Netanyahu losing some of his stature within Israel and his own party?
Okay, so before everybody sends me the hate WhatsApps and the virtual Rotten Tomatoes, it does look that way. It does look that Prime Minister Netanyahu is most definitely on the back foot here. There were some comments from various members of Knesset yesterday of him trying to hijack the Supreme Court by trying to push this vote through and trying to get, his trial kind of terminated by trying to appoint one of his allies to the appointment of Justice Minister, who said that his first port of call would be to fire Avichai Mandelbult. He is the Attorney General. But it does look that way. You know, the change faction is really, really coming out strong. They're putting out, all weapons in their arsenal. Many of the opinion in Israel that perhaps it is time for the Prime Minister to go, that it is been a long enough term, and that there needs to be new leadership, new blood, new directions for the state of Israel. And, you know, we also have to accept the fact that Netanyahu is a human being and a mortal. You know, he's not immortal. And there will come a time when his prime ministership or his leadership, whatever you want to call it, will end, whether it's with this election cycle or with another. You know, people do have to accept the fact that this is an inevitability. A lot of criticism being leveled to him for using opportunities like the Yom HaShoah ceremony to talk about, himself. A lot of criticism for his actions yesterday with regards to a justice minister. Daily the criticism against the prime minister is piling up, and it's going to be very interesting to see how things progress moving forward.
Sure. Let's talk about the security situation. Has Hamas stopped sending rockets into Israel?
Well, last night they did fire two projectiles towards Israel. Those rockets landed within the Gaza Strip. They did manage to set off the Tzev Adom alerts in Kisufim and small areas surrounding the Gaza Strip. And also yesterday, the IDF shot down a drone that was sent from Hezbollah into Israel. And so we can definitely see the flexing of muscles from Iran. Both Hezbollah and Hamas are Iranian proxies. And it also goes towards something that you and I spoke about yesterday, was the likelihood that the Palestinian elections will be cancelled. I mean, somebody wrote on Twitter, you know, between the two of us, we can't get a government together and they can't get an election together, you know.
Sure.
You know, who said we could ever live together in one state where, you know, one side can't get an election going, one side can't get a government going. This is a situation to find ourselves in. But the security cabinet, Israel security cabinet yesterday did sign off and has given the green light that if this does continue and we do see continued escalation, we will embark on what they're calling a widespread response. We don't, however, know what that response entails.
Rolene, let's talk COVID. Why is it that there are those who are saying that there's going to be a major boost to tourism?
Well, we are starting to open up. In fact, one official within the health ministry said today that he predicts that in 3 weeks' time, Israel will be fully open. So there are plans underway to really try and attract, especially now after the signing of the Abraham Accords, tourists from Bahrain, from the United Arab Emirates to come, especially to places like Jerusalem. But what we are seeing is that from the end of next month, vaccinated groups, limited amount of vaccinated groups will be allowed into Israel. In June, we are expecting unlimited amounts of vaccinated groups. The key word here is vaccinated and or recovered from COVID-19. And then in July, we are expecting to fully open up to anybody who has been vaccinated. So anyone wanting to make those travel plans to Israel, pending the travel rulings in your own country, should be able to come. But also very, very important, it has been confirmed that Israel will send whatever medical aid is necessary to India. I think we are all absolutely heartbroken the images coming in from India. This is in addition to Ethiopia, where we're also sending a medical aid team, and to the South American country of Uruguay, where we're also sending aid, and as one of the mission heads said, we have a moral and ethical obligation to share our knowledge and expertise. And this is, of course, this is to countries that actually want to receive this aid from Israel, to share our expertise there.
Rolene Marks, as always, a thank you, and you and I will have the end of the week edition of the Overdrive tomorrow.
You know it. It's a date.